How many's ready for Christmas? Some of you are shaking your head, no. Hallelujah. How many of you ever been pleasantly surprised by something that you were given on Christmas? And it took you by surprise. How many know that most of what we get is predictable, right? What are some of those predictable things that you get every year? Quickly. Socks. Underwear. All right. That's a dad thing, right? All else fails, get them socks or underwear. Amen. What else? Candy. All right. That's a girly stuff. Okay, yes. Candles, perfume. All right. Amen. I usually did that with Karen, but the kind that she gets comes in like this size, and so I only have to get it once every 5 years. Oh, I didn't take an offering. Can we take it at the end? Amen. Sorry about that. Got confused. All right. All right. There's those things that are prescribed. How many request some things? How many have a wish list that you put out there and say, hey, this is what I would like to do? So when we do these kind of things, how many play that game that when you pick up your present, somebody hands it to you, you kind of shake it, and you do the guessing game? I had a brother that he did that with everything because pretty much it was predictable what he was going to get, and then he would kind of predict what he did, and my mom would try to surprise him every year by doing something completely different. But now and then, what happens is sometimes we're taken by surprise by something that has been given to us, and it's a revelation. You didn't even know you wanted it. But when you received it, it brought a lot of joy. It had a purpose. It was good. And it kind of takes you by surprise. Sometimes it was something we mentioned sometimes in the past. How many ever received a gift that maybe you kind of were with your wife or something, and you kind of said, it'd be kind of nice to have that, and you forgot all about it, and then at Christmas you unwrap it, and there it is. Or you could be, sometimes it was something we never even considered. How many ever received something that they never even considered, never even thought they would be interested in, but when you received it, it was one of the coolest gifts that you ever received? Yes. And so, God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. We know John 3:16. How many know it was a surprise to the world, the way it came? They weren't expecting Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, what? That was the gift that God gave to the world. It was the coming of the Messiah. How many know it was predicted? How many know the prophets prophesied and foretold that it was coming? How many know that probably the people of Israel were praying that the promise of God would be fulfilled, that the Messiah would come, the Savior of the world would come? They anticipated it. They prayed for it. But yet when it happened, it took Israel by surprise. The promise came in an unexpected package. It came in the form of Jesus. And folks, they had a hard time accepting that gift. They couldn't accept a baby in a manger. They couldn't accept the fact that it was from an obscure family. And it came in a very unexpected manner. So last week we talked about the shepherds. We talked about them being outsiders. We talked about them being insignificant in their culture. But how many know they played a vital part in the religion of Israel? It was very important, the part they played. But they were considered outsiders. They received revelation. They had an angelic announcement telling them that the Savior was born. And they became the first messengers of the good news. And so we see good tidings of great joy was given to them. They went out praising and glorifying God, and what we saw was their life was changed from being just ordinary individuals to being extraordinary. And so we're going to look at a story here today, 2 years later. What happened 2 years later? We all know, right? The Magi show up. And so these are the other messengers that would appear. Like the shepherds, the wise men, the Magi, they proclaimed that the Savior and Messiah had been born. Took everybody by surprise, especially in Jerusalem. They received a revelation. If you look up in the commentary, how did they know? All we know is they saw a star. And that's where it leaves us. We don't know what kind of revelation they received by God. They didn't know if they had dreams. We don't know how they were led. But we do know that it was a star. They received a revelation, and they responded and came to worship Jesus. And unlike the shepherds, the Magi were people of authority and influence. So here we have people on two different, two different levels of the social spectrum. We have shepherds who were kind of considered nobodies. And then we have, all of a sudden, we have these magi's, these people of authority, influence, coming and seeking the presence of the newborn king. These were yes, it's one of those words. Are you with me, Linda? Missing it. I had it down. I did practice this. Emissaries, whatever. They weren't missionaries. Emissaries, there we go. All right, thank you. Give her a clap offering. All right. I have to do that to make you feel good. I told you that. All right. They were political envoys, all right? They were ministers and advisors to the ruler. So what these individuals were, they were government officials that were sent. We don't look at it in that light sometimes. We often heard that they were priests. They were educated in the sciences, the philosophy, medicine, astrology. They were Renaissance guys. They knew a little bit about everything. You know, when we go to college, they try to teach us some things. They try to make us take other courses. But when you come out of college, what do? You usually focus on that which you went to college for. You're kind of like a one-trick pony, right? We come out of the college knowing that one thing. But these guys were Renaissance guys. These guys were wise in all different kinds of fields. They were considered soothsayers, individuals who could predict the future and interpret dreams. How they received the revelation of the birth of Christ is up for debate. Nobody really knows. There's not enough information. But what we do know is they were influenced by the appearance of a star. And I like what it says in Matthew chapter 2. It says it was his star. That distinguished it from all other stars. It was his star. And so how many got a present for Christmas when somebody bought you a star and said, hey, they paid a price to have your name on one of the stars? I had a friend who told me, I asked him what he was getting his mom for Christmas. Oh, I'm paying to have a star named after her. Talk about a scam. I mean, you look at the sky and it would be like, if you don't know the constellations, you could probably figure that out, but where are you going to find your star? And how many people bought that star, right? There might be 1,000 people out there with the same named star. All right, we'll just move on. But this was his star, okay? This was Jesus' star. This was a unique star. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 2. And it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So what I would like to do here today is just kind of give you a response. Three different responses how people responded to the news of the birth of Christ. How many know that some people do not like good news? How many know there's Eeyores out there that you could tell them some good news and it's like, oh, well, you know, one of those deals. Some people just don't like good news. And so we're going to look at how three different groups of people responded to the good news of the birth of Christ. Number one was Herod. He was hostile to the news of the birth of Christ. And this guy is he is an enigma. He's kind of a bipolar guy. He's very charitable. He's the one who had the temple built. And if you read in the Gospels, you will see that it is called Herod's Temple, meaning that this is the king that helped rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. So he was a very charitable guy. And you got to realize he's half Jew. He's not fully Jew. And so he does have that in his background. And so we see that he can be very charitable. But he is also a very cruel and jealous individual. He was married multiple times. He kind of murdered some of his wives. He murdered some of his sons. He at one time murdered the whole Sanhedrin. At one time he killed over 3,000 leaders and influential people. And on his death, he requested that after he died, a certain amount of people were to die with him, be put to death. So this is a guy that is kind of an individual who's looking after himself and protecting his kingship. And so Herod played the diplomatic card with the Magi, and of course we know the story, we just read it, that he said, hey, when you find him, come back to me, tell me where he's at, and I will go and worship him. But we know that God intervened in that. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, it says this, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, they had a dream not to go back, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity. Do you realize he's not just Bethlehem that he killed the babies, but a whole region of towns he went to and had all the babies destroyed, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. How many know we live in a world that is hostile to its creator? How many know there's people that just don't like the church? How many know that there are people out there that don't like you? Because you belong to Jesus. You're a threat to them. The Bible says we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices, are we? We know his schemes. If he hates Jesus, he's going to hate us. Jesus even said, because they hate me, guess what, guys? They're going to hate you. They're going to reject you as well. So we see the hostility even on the home front of our own nation. We see the war that takes place on our kids. We see what's happening in our schools. It's come to light finally, right? What's going on in our schools? We see what's taking place on the internet against our children. We see the blasphemy that comes out of Hollywood. How many know there's not much good that's coming out of Hollywood these days? There is not much going on there. The attempted destruction of the image of God. How many know that the United States is a leader in a lot of different things that are against godly principles, morality? We are the leaders. We are the leaders in abortion, in homosexuality, transgenderism, sex trafficking, even violence. We're looking at the Middle East. We're looking at Ukraine. We're looking at all these devastations, these people passing away. But how many know that probably in the same time span, there are people being killed in the streets of our cities in the United States, that we probably outnumber all those people that were killed over there? Violence is rampant, killing the image of God, right? Killing one another. Drugs and alcohol. These are just some of the things that we see that are coming against the image of God. We are created in the image of God, and guess what? The enemy is against us because of that very fact. There are people who just hate God and his people. They want position, they want power, and they are of their father, the devil. Not everyone welcomes Christmas in the same we do. When it comes, they're very hostile to it. They're very hostile. They don't want us to celebrate in the way that we do, celebrating the King, the Savior, the Lord who has come to save the world from its sins. So we look at this and we see Herod was hostile to the news of the birth of Jesus Christ. So we look at this here today. The second response was the chief priests and teachers of the law were indifferent to the news of the birth of Jesus Christ. Herod made an inquiry. He said, I didn't know there was a king being born. And where this king is being born, where is this supposed to take place? And of course, the priests and the teachers of the law, they responded, we know where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be in Bethlehem. And so you can kind of see how it began to stir some things up here because, hey, King Herod, he's a troublemaker. He was troubled by this. And it says all Jerusalem was troubled with it. Oh, they weren't sure what was going to happen with this news. But how many know they were doing Herod's business, bidding. The priests, yes. Yeah, they were Sadducees. They were. The Sadducees were the priests and the whatever they were. Those other people. All right. I won't say it. A brain something going on here. All right. So they were doing Herod's business, basically. And you don't want to upset the cart because life is good at this point. They were the ones responsible for the daily sacrifice. They were the ones dealing with the sins of the people, supposedly. They didn't want a savior. They were indifferent to the news of the Savior and Messiah. And what's amazing is this is the only thing we hear about them. We see that they have no other response. They didn't go to seek it for themselves. They didn't have a conversation with the Magi saying, hey, when you find it, get back to us. We'd like to also go and worship the king. They were indifferent. You know the attitude, if it's not broke, don't fix it. They had a good thing going. And even when Jesus was grown and they crucified him, guess what? They didn't think it was broke. And they didn't want Jesus coming and fixing it. And so it was bad timing on their part. So indifference is prevalent in our society and even in our churches today. How many know that? We may not be hostile. Some people may not be hostile. But they're just uninterested and intentionally uninformed. You know, if we don't know, we don't care. The problem comes when we do know and we have to respond to it. Relevancy. What does it have to do with lives? What does it have to do with our lives? What does it have to do with their lives? Even in the church, people can be apathetic. Folks, it's a great time. It's a great time of celebration. It's a good time to have services. We hear these sermons only once a year, right? Shepherds, the wise men, right? We hear these stories of Jesus being born in a manger. But folks, we can be apathetic to it over a period of time. Most of us have heard these stories over and over and over and over again. Not just in church, but even in our Bible reading, we have read this story. And folks, we can become apathetic. We can become unresponsive, like, I've heard that. I know this story. But the thing is, it can make us lethargic. And how many know this time of year, people are tired? People are tired. They may be uninterested, unconcerned, lazy, bored. So indifference is prevalent. In the world out there, some people just don't give a rip. And how many know in the church that it's just a season in our church? Oh, we'll get through this and we'll start a new year and we'll be on our way. Folks, it needs to be a little bit more than that. The priests and the teachers of the law were not uninformed or ignorant. It revealed the distance the spiritual leaders had from God. Could you imagine hearing that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is born and you do nothing about it? And you are the spiritual leaders. Woo. The surprise revelation did not move them. What a golden opportunity, right? They had at this moment, but they let it pass. The very presence of the Magi did not move them. As I said, you're talking about high government officials, people coming as representatives from another nation, coming and seeking the Messiah, the Savior. They weren't moved. They were indifferent. They were more concerned about Herod than the good news. They were more concerned about their neck because they saw other people die. Their predecessors died at the hands of Herod. And they're thinking, no, I don't want to go there. The devil has a way with distraction and deception. He likes to make us feel comfortable. And in that comfort, what? We become indifferent. Oh, it's just another Christmas season. Put up the decorations. Give the presents. Don't let it be that. The third response was the Magi were overjoyed when they saw the star. The phenomenon of the star is unexplainable. There are those, if you read commentaries, that will say it was a comet. Some will say it was whatever, a planet. But all I can say is that it was his star. It was God's star. It appeared, disappeared, and reappeared. Isn't that weird? That they saw it from their own country, and when they started heading, it disappeared. They come to Jerusalem saying, hey, where's the kid born? Where's the baby born? They lost the star. It stopped shining. But we see it come back, what? When they leave Jerusalem and head towards Bethlehem, the star appears. That's kind of strange. That's kind of a phenomenon, isn't it? But God needed them to be the messengers, to share the news, just like the shepherds did. They shared the good news of the Savior that was to be born. The Messiah was coming. And so we see in Bethlehem, they were amazed. In Jerusalem, they were disturbed and troubled at the news of the Savior's birth. Verse 11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Jesus was royalty. Do you know that? Jesus is royalty. God needed his son to be honored. And God sent some Gentiles from the other nations to come and worship the King of Kings. Isn't that an amazing story? I got half an hour to kill. All right. The Christmas season reveals the hearts of people. There are those that are hostile. We live through the season of saying, don't say Merry Christmas, say Happy Holidays. That kind of trend has kind of come, it's kind of gone. We had those who said, you cannot put up a manger display in a public place or in a government property. Remember that? You can't do that. They probably still are trying to fight that one. They tried to push no Christmas hymns in the schools, choir, recitals, and concerts. They tried to do that one. But every concert that I went to after they proclaimed that, they played the hymns. The question is, why do they even celebrate the holiday? If Christ is not the center of that holiday, why even celebrate it? They replace the birth of Christ with other symbolisms and emphasize Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. Isn't that amazing? We hear more about that in the public news, in the media, than we do about Christmas. What a shame. So there are those that are hostile, and those that are indifferent. There are those that can go through a whole holiday season without any reference to Jesus Christ's birth. I couldn't imagine that. They hold on to non-Christian traditions, and it becomes a pointless holiday that instigates a selfish desires. Nothing more than selfish wish list. Is that what Christmas is? Is that what we want to celebrate? And there are those who joyfully celebrate the birth of Christ. And like the wise men, we continually seek him. Like the wise men, we continually worship him. Like the wise men, we continually offer our gifts to him. Like the wise men, we continually share the good news. God is looking for some messengers. And it's during this holiday season that God's calling us to be shepherds. He's calling us to be magi, to tell others that the reason for the season is Jesus. That's the reason for the season. But yet there are people that we rub shoulders against every day that don't celebrate it. And so we are these individuals. Herod was hostile. The Jews were indifferent. And that wise men who were Gentiles paid homage to Jesus, who was and is the King of Jesus, of the Jews, the Savior of the world, and the soon returning Messiah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Very simple message. Let me encourage you, put Christ in Christmas. Put Christ in Christmas, even in your home. Take those moments, those times, just to emphasize why we are celebrating this season. Amen. Father, we come to you today, and a very simplistic message, but Father, we look at it, and we're amazed at all that you did in this story. Bringing people from a distant land to worship somebody who was very near and dear to those that were in Israel. In their own backyard, the Savior was born, but yet they were clueless. They had no clue that it even had taken place. I pray, Father, as we go about this holiday season, for those we work with, Lord, for those that we go to school with those, Lord, that we encounter on a daily basis, Lord, let's remember it's not just saying Merry Christmas, but giving them the reason why we're celebrating this season, that Jesus Christ has been born, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and that he had died for them, he has died for us. So, Father, we come to you today, and we accept the challenge before us here today, Lord, that when we have opportunities this holiday season to speak, it's an open door. The whole season is an open door for us to share our faith, to share what Jesus Christ has done for us. The gift that God has given us, we have accepted, and that he offers that gift to everyone. Everyone in this room, everybody that's online, he is offering you that wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth, hallelujah, confess with our mouth that he is Lord, hallelujah, and believe in our heart, hallelujah, the Bible says what? We shall be saved. He did all the work. It's just a gift that he's given us. He has given us a wonderful gift in Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says he has given us the gift of redemption, of salvation, of being made clean because Christ has taken our place. If you haven't taken that, we're asking you today, take that wonderful gift. It's a simple prayer of just asking Jesus into your heart. Recognizing that today you are without Jesus Christ, you're lost. Recognizing today that Jesus had paid the price. He's taken care of our sin. And that we walk in him, we walk with him. And in that walk, we make him Lord of our life. We say, Lord, take the reins, take the steering wheel, you guide my life. You lead, I follow. Father, today we're just asking God that we renew that thought in our hearts and minds here today. Some of us probably need to let go of the steering wheel a little bit and allow you to be Lord once again. Lord, we pray for just your people. We pray for this holiday season. I pray that your anointing will rest upon your people. That, Lord, that they will be sensitive to those moments that people open the door for us to share. It's happening. It's that season. And I pray, Father, that we will be obedient. That we will give a reason for the hope that is in us. And that is Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We praise you. And we give you the honor and the glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen.